Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon in the District of Columbia, and excited to get on the Rude Guest Hotline, join our friend, Mr. Ian Harditz from Fantasy Life. You can give Ian a follow at iHarditz, H-A-R-T-I-T-Z. Ian, what's up, dude? How are you?
It's a great day to be great, man. Appreciate you guys having me on.
I love that. Let's start with tonight, dude. The Niners are just a shell. I mean, everybody's hurt. I remember I made a bet with a Niners fan friend I know this offseason where he's like, oh, we're back, baby, we're back. I was like, you got too many guys that are hurt all the time, dude. What do you make of the Niners?
I just think we got to at some point start pointing a finger at Christian McCaffrey. I mean, this is the one dude who could never stay healthy, and now seemingly all his teammates are the ones falling down. So, you know, all jokes aside, I do think that it's unfortunately, I mean, your friend had a good point, like at full strength, especially with the schedule they've had. I mean, this does look like a team that, you know, outside of the Eagles in a fairly wide open NFC, you could see them getting back to the championship. But, man, I mean, I heard the update just again, Purdy, Jennings, Pearsall, obviously already leaving that offense hanging. And, you know, it's been long enough that we already forget that George Kittle was put on IR after playing only about 20 snaps in week one. Throwing Nick Bosa, obviously having the ACL injury, and it just has been so, so rough. So, again, I won't completely write them off yet. Mac Jones is pretty good in relief duty. And, hey, if you guys are old enough to remember like me, I mean, that kind of COVID game a couple years ago where the entire wide receiver room was out, we wound up getting a legacy game out of Richie James. So maybe DeMarcus Robinson, Kendrick Bourne, some of these guys can keep it up. But it almost is, I don't want to say it's good they're playing on Thursday night because obviously it's impacting them there, but getting those extra few days of rest ahead of week six will hopefully do them some good.
Yeah, we'll see. I imagine anybody you got on the Rams tonight from a fantasy perspective is full send, even though Thursday night games can be kind of ugly.
Oh, 100%. I mean, right now, if we were really just ready to redraft the entire fantasy season starting now, Puka Nacua would be the consensus 101. This dude is on pace for north of 2,100 receiving yards, which is now pretty great because if you look at the all-time single-season leaderboard, God forbid, you know, Puka works his way up there and clears 2K or just gets close. It's going to be Calvin Johnson, Cooper Kupp, and then Puka Nacua, a.k.a. the three guys who Matthew Stafford has managed to get to just such great heights. So all-time wide receiver whisperer stuff going on there for Stafford. But, yeah, even beyond Puka, I mean, Davante Adams is getting force-fed the ball in the red zone. Kyren Williams continues to do his thing. So, and that is, like, the good thing. I mean, we have offenses like the Bills, who are obviously awesome in real life, but they have that everybody-eats mantra, which, again, great for Bills Mafia, great for Josh Allen and everything they're trying to do. But in fantasy, you want things as condensed as possible, and no passing game is flowing through its top two guys as much as the Rams are with Puka and Davante.
Has some of these injuries to some of these star players – really, really affected some of the fantasy football teams?
Oh, 100%, man. I think a big kind of thing, too, is just the offensive line that unfortunately dealing with multiple injuries. You know, the Packers have had two starters down. Cowboys are another one of those groups. And, yeah, you know, it didn't exactly stop them from having a nice little fun shootout on Sunday night in the Micah Parsons Bowl. But, you know, I heard actually John Gruden kind of ranting the other day about just different things with their, you know, collective bargaining agreement really makes it tough for them to have, you know, fully padded practices and get the offensive lines in particular to a point that they can be playing great football. So, you know, again, you combine kind of that stuff going on with the existing injuries, really has been rough. But the two big ones that happened yesterday, actually, Trey Benson, the Cardinals, their starting running back hit IR, and then Bucky Irving for the Buccaneers, seen in a walking boot and then also on crutches. So if you guys are in leagues where, you know, maybe not the most competitive waiver wire out there, Rashad White probably already picked up, but he's looking at a nice role. And then the more low-key option is going to be Michael Carter, seemingly set up to be the Cardinals' RB1 after being a healthy scratch, basically, to start the season. So I think it's similar to what kind of Chris Rodriguez was doing with you guys, where, again, there doesn't have enough special teams value to exactly be active more game days than not. But one injury away from getting a pretty big role, and I think that's what we're looking at here with Michael Carter.
Well, John Gruden and I kind of think alike when it comes down to this not being able to practice, and it's not just affecting offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, look, I know the players are out there trying to, you know, be safe and not have to do too much either. But, again, it was just a funny little rant going on. Certainly different, I'm sure, than what guys were doing back in this day.
Yeah. Talking with our friend Ian Harditz from Fantasy Life, covers the entire NFL from a fantasy perspective. Really, really sharp. What has been kind of the biggest fantasy surprise for you thus far this season? Both maybe a positive surprise and a bad one.
Yeah, I think just kind of going back to the injuries, it's the fact that it's more so been the wide receivers who have been getting banged up versus running backs, really for the second straight year in a row. So, you know, one of these big kind of just all-encompassing fantasy strategies you refer to is zero RB, where you kind of play into that idea that running backs are going to drop more like flies. But anyone that, again, was waiting too long to get their first RB really has been missing out on some pretty great performances. So I will say some of these, you know, more boring veteran types have just been thriving as well. Travis Etienne for the Jaguars right now leading the NFL in yards per carry. Javonte Williams was assumed to be kind of washed up after kind of flaming out in Denver over these past few years. Suddenly he's an RB1 for a Cowboys offense that is force feeding him the football. So really I would say, you know, that kind of rookie fever that everyone gets kind of, you know, from talking about the same guys for so many months of the offseason, we just haven't exactly seen some of that hype translate yet. So not all bad performances. I do think Tedrone McMillan for the Panthers here is really due for a blow up, but man, seeing just Travis Hunter fail so badly to get pretty much anything going. And then a lot of these rookie running backs as well, at least before last week when some guys like Gentian Hampton got going, really has been a slow start for some of these bigger name rookies.
What do you make of Derrick Henry through four games? And kind of what do you do with that Ravens offense if Lamar starts missing some time?
Yeah, I was actually just writing about Henry. So it hasn't been pretty in terms of a total counting numbers perspective, but this dude's still going out there and averaging 5.8 yards per carry, which is the second highest mark of his career. The problem has been this Ravens defense has been a mix of bad and just really, really injured out there. So accordingly, they've been in these trailing game scripts, which they're not really used to. And then, Derrick Henry hasn't had more than 12 carries in a game since week one. So again, he's had the fumbles, which are really annoying, but he only had three combined from 2023 to 2024. So I think it's just more of a, you know, bad small sample size issue with that. Really haven't seen anything from King Henry that indicates the age cliff is getting there or he's any less of a beast. So I'm just hoping that they are willing to kind of go down with the ship, because as someone who unfortunately is a very, very sad Cowboys fan, I mean, I've seen Cooper Rush and what he can do over the years, and I just cannot imagine this team, you know, going in still only giving Henry 12 to 15 carries when now your option is Cooper Rush with the football, not even Lamar Jackson. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. Justice Hill, to his credit, has been a real nice pass down back to them, and because of that, Henry doesn't maybe get the usual high snap counts of some of these other guys. But end of the day, it's only been 4 weeks. I think we're, you know, very, very much overdue here for one of those patented big dollar explosion games.
Bijan hadn't played well up to the Washington game. Well, he didn't have any big games. He had a big game against Washington. How can you see him going the rest of the year?
Man, Bijan, the great thing that with him this year is just how much they've been actually throwing him the football. Obviously, you know, just the way he runs, man, it really is different. It's almost like he's skiing out there in and out of holes. So really great stuff, obviously, on the ground. But right now he is on pace to clear 1,000 yards as both a rusher and receiver. That would only be the fourth instance of that happening in a single season in NFL history. We've seen Christian McCaffrey do it, Marshall Faulk, and even Roger Craig back in the day. So it would be pretty cool if, again, we see Bijan just manage to go ahead and get up on that leaderboard. But Falcons offense as a whole has been a little bit inconsistent. So they fired their wide receiver coach last week, and all of a sudden Penix and Drake London were getting going again. So I'm optimistic, at least in Bijan in that offense, because again, when you have as much volume as he does, and you're such just a great real life talent, it's hard to fall too far in fantasy land. But yeah, the whole Michael Penix experience, you know, continues to be up and down.
All right. We're talking with our friend Ian Harditz from Fantasy Life. You can give him a follow at iHarditz. We're going to make this about me now. I have three fantasy teams.
Oh, Lord.
I have three fantasy teams somewhere between suck and okay. In one league, I have C.J. Stroud as my quarterback. I could pick up Daniel Jones. I don't know. Is it worth picking up Danny Dimes?
Yeah, man. I think it is at this point. Because the thing is, too, in fantasy, like, it's – I know people are like, oh, it's just fantasy football. Like, it's not the same as real life. And for the most part, like, I totally get that. But at the same time, fantasy points, like, they're just receptions, yards, and touchdowns. It's kind of the same counting stats that we use to quantify real life success as well. The two exceptions, though, are rushing quarterbacks, guys like Justin Fields and honestly Daniel Jones, and then some of these running backs who can just catch a ton of passes. These players that, again, are kind of getting multiple means of production really do end up standing out in fantasy, even if they aren't quite that good in real life. And that's honestly what we've seen with Daniel Jones. He's been really efficient as a passer. I do think we got to give some credit to Tyler Warren, Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, and then Shane Steichen, who really has done a great job with all of his quarterbacks not named Anthony Richardson over the years. But, hey, just like we even saw from Daniel Jones, you know, back in that 2022 season, when Saquon Barkley actually nicknamed him Vanilla Vic in the first place, like, this dude is good out there. And they actually have been willing to use him around the goal line. He's already got three touchdowns, I believe, from the one-yard line. And now this week, looking at the matchup against the Raiders, yes, Max Crosby is incredible. But because of that, I mean, teams really haven't been as willing to run the ball against the Raiders. They almost kind of funnel production through the air, where the secondary isn't quite as, you know, dangerous to worry about. So Daniel Jones, again, it's wild, but we're so far so good, man. We're kind of seeing him become that next Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold type, where, you know, these quarterbacks are finding a new and improved franchise and accordingly putting a lot of good stuff together. So Stroud set up well against that banged up Ravens D, but for me, I'm going with Danny Dimes.
Okay. It's a waiver claim, so I put it in and we'll see what happens. If not, it's going to be the Stroud show, which has been tough to watch.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I picked up the Woody Marks kid. Seems like a lot of excitement. How much do you trust Woody Marks, who's a rookie at USC, to really take over that Texans running back one role?
I mean, so far, so good, man. He started off in week one actually, like, working as the third guy in that backfield. They had Dario Gumbawale doing pass downs. But fourth quarter fumble from Dari, really haven't seen much of him since. But overall, man, his snaps have gone from 12% to 28% to 49%. And last week's season-high 58% mark. And I do think the important thing that we've been able to see here is that the Texans view him as a legit three-down bell cow sort of a running back, because that was the concern coming out of USC. How much is he actually going to be trusted on early downs or in short yardage situations versus just being more of a one-dimensional pass-down guy? And there was a snap, you know, last week where it was fourth and two, and they were just wanting to give the ball to Woody right up the middle, and he got the first down for him. So Nick Chubb, obviously a great story. He's had a couple okay moments this year, but it does seem like Marks gives them, you know, just that added juice as a rusher, and then also he can do far more in the receiving game. So got that update from DeMeco Ryans and then Aaron Wilson, you know, Texans beat reporter, that Joe Mixon, really, really looking more and more doubtful for the entire season at this point. So I would like to see one more week of confirmation of Woody just purely being the lead dog in Houston, but certainly think he is someone you can start in your flex with a good bit of confidence. And hey man, this time next week, he legit could be in the top 20 if we continue to see that role on the up and up.
Well, B, here's an example of why my team sucks. Ian says I should start him as a flex. I have him as my RB1. Now, I do have Josh Josh Jacobs is on a bye. I got absolutely whored by Jaylen Warren last week because they were the early game and he was a late scratch. I was on the damn airplane when I found out Warren wasn't playing. I couldn't sub him out. I lost by like 4 points. If I had a different back end, I would have won. Just that's fantasy life, right?
Yeah. And his backup, Kenneth Gainwell, went absolutely bonkers, which made it that way to you, I'm sure.
Insult to injury. My other running back on this team, I'm starting Bill, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt.
Nice.
I have Bill in. I had Trey Benson, who's now hurt, so I picked up both DeMarcado and Michael Carter. I'm not sure I need to carry three Cardinals running backs. But do you trust Bill over those two dudes, DeMarcado and Carter? How much do you trust Bill kind of in general?
I trust Bill, the player. I mean, I mentioned before Travis Etienne, I think, you know, he is leading the NFL right now in yards for carry. But in second place is Bill, and he has been great. But, you know, the problem for Bill in fantasy is just that when they give the ball to McNichols and Chris Rodriguez, they're being pretty great too. I mean, Washington this season, in terms of just on their designed RB rushes, they are at the top of the league in terms of the EPA they're getting on those plays. So it's one of these things where, you know, with Washington and New England's the other situation where all of us fantasy nerds, you know, we all want them to feature Trevion Henderson more because we drafted them way too high a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, just kind of, you know, look away through not looking through my fantasy, you know, rose-colored glasses. Like, how can I really complain about what Washington and New England are doing when these other running backs are also making the most out of their opportunities? So, you know, Bill, been great, but the problem is, you know, 8 to 10 touches probably per game. It's just not quite enough for me to really be giving him the benefit of doubt in some of these closer start sit decisions. So, sounds like what you're dealing with, don't have, you know, much of a better choice. So, we'll go ahead and just roll with Bill anyway. But, you know, I don't know that you need Amari DiMercado. We'll see what happens there. Michael Carter actually in an interview yesterday was saying how it was funny how he was like, you know, their scout team player of the week last week, and now all of a sudden he's starting. So, actually kind of got confirmation from Carter about that just there. But, yeah, man, Bill, great player. Obviously, you know, training camp Hall of Famer as we kept getting those reports going on. We'll see if they end up featuring him more as the year goes on.
I saw that Michael Carter interview on social, and it reminded me – this is a deep cut, but I remember when John Beck declared himself the starting quarterback for the Redskins.
And he had that shirt with his name on it.
Well, and it was during the lockout, so the coaching staff couldn't really say anything, and then there was all this excitement about John Beck, and then when he got on the field, he certainly wasn't starting caliber.
He couldn't start in high school.
I don't know. Sometimes I fear when players are like, yo, I'm the guy. Maybe he is the guy, though. I have another league. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, it kind of reminded me a little bit of last year when Christian McCaffrey was this late scratch in week one. Then he ended up going on IR, and they were interviewing Jordan Mason after the game. And he just had an awesome kind of starting debut, like 150 yards. And you could tell he was just so happy. And then they asked him, like, when he knew he was going to be the starting running back. And he said the Friday before, which nobody knew was actually the case, you know, outside of San Francisco. So just this unfortunate moment where, again, you know, teams are trying to keep their cards close to their chest, so I get it. But I do appreciate guys like Michael Carter making it a little bit easier on us.
He tried to backtrack that one, though. Mason did.
I have another league where my team kind of sucks. My receivers suck.
In other words, JP, you just can't pick teams.
B, I'm a running back addict, and I just load up on running backs.
It's all good.
And then my other positions suck. So my two receivers are Devontae Smith and Jameson Williams. I have Keon Coleman. Matthew Golden's on a bye. Like, I have to start those dudes, right? Devontae and Jameson?
Yeah, you got it right. I mean, Keon, honestly, someone that I drafted a lot, hoping that he just would emerge as Buffalo's number one receiver. He does actually lead the way in terms of targets this year. But the problem is, like we were talking about, is that everybody eats mantra for an offense that when they can, they're very content to basically only have Josh Allen throw the ball 25 or so times per game. So then you're just asking Keon to hopefully make the most out of four or five targets. And again, just tough to make too big of a living in fantasy when that's all the volume you're getting. So not too dissimilar from Devonta Smith and honestly even J-Mo in some of these games. But I will say with Jameson Williams, they were really trying to get him going last week against the Browns. He actually had like a season-high 9 targets. And when you look at the nature of those targets, a ton of them were of the fantasy-friendly downfield variety. So now they're going up again this week. Total smash spot against the Bengals defense that looks like a combination of bad slash, you know, quitting on the season at this point. So just, again, Lions implied for the most points. I do think Jameson Williams could have a nice boom here.
Okay. I could use that, J-Mo. We could really use that. And then are there any receivers, tight ends, anybody out there you would target trades that maybe are a little undervalued that you think will kind of turn this thing around?
Yeah, so just in terms of, you know, your league's obviously going to be doing these guys differently. But as gross as it was, and it was also on a primetime game last week, so I think maybe I could use that to your advantage. But Marvin Harrison Jr. is someone who really has been meeting expectations. You know, as Bill is this generational guy, obviously has, you know, the last name everyone loves and all that. But looking ahead, we actually now have enough, I think, data on the season to feel a little bit better about the strength of schedule stuff. And no wide receiver is set up better in weeks 5 through 9 than Marvin Harrison Jr. So I think it makes sense that they start throwing the ball a little bit more, again, down James Conner and down Trey Benson at this point. So Marvin Harrison Jr., again, been a little bit rough out there. You know, he's had 3 drops, a couple of them led to interceptions. So certainly not, you know, devoid of blame in his own right, but we even did see in that second half, started making some nice contested catches, and certainly knows there is a really good football player there. So Kyler, you know, someone who's been a little bit up and down in his own right, but yeah, I would say Marvin Harrison Jr. might be a guy that you can trade for as more of a wide receiver 3, and I still think somewhere in there we have some wide receiver 1 upside.
Ian, we appreciate you making time for us, bro.
You.
Always great info.
Appreciate you guys. Good luck this week.
Dude, I need it.
Yeah. It's been tough. You might want to take you a break. Let somebody else run your team for me.
That's our friend Ian Harditz from Fantasy Life. Give him a follow at iHarditz, H-A-R-T-I-T-Z. When we come back, you'll hear from Commanders D coordinator Joe Witt.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Every NFL Thursday is your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel. Because with FanDuel's Thursday Touchdown Jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each week. To get in on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you'll win. You'll win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to take a shot at the jackpot. That's FanDuel.com/Brian for your chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel is official sportsbook of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Opt-in required. Must supply a Profit Boost token on select market. Prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct first or last touchdown pick. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 21 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.